offering, a most loving pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Dear listeners, we welcome you to this week's episode of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. As always, joining you for this week's episode is Sai Prakash and myself, Prem from Team Radio Sai. We've been going through the 1991 summer course series. The last time around, what probably you could call season one, we were doing the 1990 summer course series. And this time it's the 91. The fourth discourse is what we are in the middle of. In fact, we will be concluding that discourse this week, most probably. And this series, 1991, is predominantly about the Upanishads. And the first Upanishad which Swami takes, which is in the fourth discourse which you're going through now, is the Ishavasya Upanishad. The title of the discourse is Ishavasya Upanishad, Renunciation and Pleasure. And that's precisely the theme of this entire discourse. And before I say anything more, I've said much already, let me invite Sai Prakash. Sairam Sai Prakash.
Sairam Prem. Yes, what you said is absolutely right. This is about Ishavasya Upanishad, and very frankly, as we discussed earlier, we had our own trepidation whether, you know, we are eligible enough to take on a topic like the Upanishads. But then we realized we are not speaking, and it's Swami who's speaking, and he's giving the discourses. But something which is really amazing in this discourse, since this is the first where Swami has actually taken on one of the Upanishads, he's talking about Tyaga and Bhoga, and about action.
Okay.
And you know, there is one beautiful line here where Swami says, everything in this world is a disease, roga.
Right.
With the right outlook, we can convert every situation into yoga. I mean, we spoke about what is tyaga. Tyaga is actually the attitude to action. You cannot give up action itself. So here he says, with the right outlook. So in a sense, it is a mixture of your outlook of what you actually do as well as what you do.
Right.
I mean, what you cannot stay without action, but the outlook with which you do your action looks as important as the action itself.
Right. You know, I was going through a commentary of the Ishavasya Upanishad by another scholar.
Okay.
And one striking difference I saw, you know, between his explanation, which is probably the one the way it is usually expressed as,
okay,
the Ishavasya Upanishad, because of the amount of time the Upanishad spends on each concept.
Okay.
Like they say, the first thing is about how God pervades the entire creation, and then there is this concept about bhoga and tyaga and how action has to be performed.
Okay.
And then there is a description of the Atman.
Okay.
And volume wise, a lot of time is spent on what is the Atman there, and how without wanting to know about the Atman, wanting to explore the higher realms of knowledge, you've not got anywhere.
Oh.
So the explanation which was given is, this Upanishad speaks about renunciation of the highest kind and going after the knowledge of the Atman.
Okay.
In the absence of the ability to renounce in that level, since we are all bound by action, how do we do the action?
Oh.
And now you can see, when we've gone through this discourse, the importance which Swami has given to action and how the action has to be done is actually much, much more than, the esoteric part of the Upanishad.
Very true. Very true.
It's almost like Swami saying that, you know, it is not like inevitability which is leading you to doing action. Action is most necessary, because at one point Swami says that you cannot escape from action.
Yeah.
Action has to be done.
Right.
So let us see how to do action.
Hmm.
So you can see that balance, difference in Swami's discourse, how Swami is saying that you have to act, and you have to act in this manner.
I mean, because it is Swami who is teaching us, there is absolute focus on, you know, yes, it's good to know what the Atman is. First of all, you can't describe the Atman.
Right.
And you're going to give similes and examples and trying to describe what the Atman is. But here, the focus is on action.
Right.
And so where do we start? What do we do? This is where you start. You start by setting your, outlook. You start by setting your outlook right. And how you dedicate your action to the Lord. I mean, so that tyaga which he says is giving up the fruit of action and dedicating it to the Lord.
Right.
Then after this, there is this beautiful portion where he gives a very, very simple guideline where he says, forget all the help you have done to others.
Right.
And forget all the hurt others have done to you.
Right.
And it's such a, practical translation of right action, I would say.
Exactly. Last week, the discourse clips which we heard were pretty much Swami giving practical tips of how to bring this about.
Very true.
Before he came to that forget and forgive part,
mm-hmm.
he spoke about seva, the importance of seva.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at seva, I think many of us, thanks to Swami, have been able to indulge in a little bit of selfless activity.
Right.
We know the freedom that comes with selfless activity. Right. Because you get into an activity like that, you do seva,
mm-hmm.
you just walk away with satisfaction. You know, there is no burden of expectation, there is no burden of, I have done this, I should see the fruit of that action.
Very
in many ways, be it, especially when you are doing something as a representative of Swami.
Right.
Like when you go out for the gram seva or doing Narayan seva in the name of Swami.
Mm-hmm.
Swami is the giver. Somebody is the receiver.
Very true.
We just come in, we do that part, we just take that satisfaction which comes out of doing something selfless,
mm-hmm.
and we move away. Swami is alluding to that feeling which most of us have gone through, and Swami is saying that selflessness has to be brought into every action that you do.
Correct.
Even what you do for those who are dear to you, those who we are, otherwise attached to.
Mm.
And, of course, as you said, that part where Swami speaks about, forgetting the harm that others have done to you and forgetting the good that you have done to others. And the other practical point which Swami gave, which was actually a very beautiful explanation of that, na karma na na prajaya.
Mm-hmm.
Swami says, there is about the two things which I mentioned, dana and tyaga.
Right.
Swami says that usually people think that don't go after wealth, go mm-hmm. after sacrifice.
Right.
Swami says it's not like that.
Mm-hmm.
Combine dana and tyaga.
Mm.
Swami says, what is the wealth? Your power is your wealth, your skill is your wealth, your knowledge is your wealth,
yes.
your time and your money is your wealth.
Mm-hmm.
That, when it is combined with sacrifice,
mm.
that is when you get liberation. And Swami is saying that each one of it, use it for the benefit of others.
Right.
It's again a very beautiful practical tip, I think. That's why we stopped last time.
At the cost of digressing a little bit,
mm-hmm.
Swami says, forget the harm that others, hurt that others have caused to you. I mean, it's not a very direct example, I should admit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lesson for all of us nevertheless. We all were in Kodaikanal, and Swami was there, and there was one gentleman who had purchased a property.
Okay.
Okay. And he owed the Central Trust a lot of money. Because he had purchased a property from the Central Trust.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami had blessed him to do so and all that. And this man was not paying up.
Okay.
And there were a few elders who knew it.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami came, Swami gave darshan, Swami called him, gave him an interview, blessed them with this, that. And, Swami is not talking to him anything about the payment that's due.
Mm-hmm.
And, so some of the elders took courage and they said, Swami, this man owes the trust a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Swami says, I know, but that has got nothing to do with him and me. That is what he has to do with the trust. Yes, it's not a direct example, but it just came to my mind in the sense that, okay, somebody may owe you something. Hurting you is of different types. Somebody has spoken bad about you, or somebody has not given you back what you have lent them, whatever it is. But the way Swami, he says that's a different issue. That's up to him.
Yeah, I remember something similar, of course. I don't know the details perfectly, and even if known, I think it's better not to speak about it. Apparently, there was one devotee who had given a piece of land to Swami.
Okay.
And this was around Puttaparthi somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And this lady's son, he was not very devoted to Swami like his mother. He did not inherit that, sadly.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently, he had filed a case in the court,
mm-hmm.
saying that that land belongs to my grandfather or something, and my mother does not have the right to donate it to Swami's trust and all that.
Okay.
And I mean, she had very clearly, the paperwork was very clear, so his argument did not stand, and finally the verdict was for the Central Trust.
Mm.
And, I mean, as we know, Swami did not involve himself in this. It was a legal matter because he had taken it to the court and was settled and all that. And apparently one day Swami was coming for darshan, and Swami came to the portico, and Swami said, "Enti vado chad enti." Swami said, "That fellow has come."
Mm.
I saw him in this one. And Swami saying he's sitting silently there.
Mm.
And then Swami said, "Ichendi." So let him have it.
Mm.
You know, the beauty of this incident is, you know, Swami did not. Swami could have done this even before the entire court thing happened. Many times Swami would say this. Swami would say, "See, when you let go, you end up allowing somebody else to do adharma." And that is actually indulging in adharma.
Correct.
So to an extent, you try to uphold your dharma, and that also means ensuring the other person also does the dharma. But once that is settled, because Swami did not do it with any greed or attachment or anything, it was so easy to, you know, even after you have the entitlement of that property, he says, "No, you give it to
give
him.
It back.
He wants it, let him have it."
Mm.
I think that is where Swami says, you know, you don't give because you're helpless. And when Swami would explain that, you know, the Gita verse, when you said that you give up the result of your action willfully, it's not that you don't have right over it.
Correct.
I have the right, but I willfully give it
willfully
over.
Willfully offer it to the Lord.
Offer it to.
Yeah. In fact, in the same tone, when he talks about sacrifice, he says, just as we release the air and the food that we take in, even money should be sacrificed, given back to society. And that's where Swami says that whatever you have earned, this dhana, that wealth, should be given back to society.
Right.
So I think we can go to the next clip.
Yeah, I think we have two clips to go.
Okay.
We'll see if we can complete this discourse today.
కేవలం తలకిందుకు పెట్టి కాళ్ళు పైకి పెట్టి ఏదో ఒక విధమైన దీక్షను పూనుకోవటం కాదు తపస్సు.
Dependence does not mean reversing your body with the leg, with the head down and legs up.
త్రికరణ శుద్ధి మనోవాక్కాయములను ఏకంగా భావించుకోవటమే తపస్సు.
Dependence meant unity of action, the thought, word and deed.
అది ఏ మహాత్ముల యొక్క ప్రభావము.
That is the effect of great men.
మనస్సు ఏకం, వచస్సు ఏకం, కర్మణ్ ఏకం, మహాత్మనం. మనస్ అన్యత్, వచస్ అన్యత్, కర్మణ్ అన్యత్, దురాత్మనం అన్నారు.
ద గ్రేట్ పీపుల్ విల్ హ్యావ్ యూనిటీ ఆఫ్ యాక్షన్, ద థాట్ అండ్ వర్డ్.
మనసులో ఒకటి, మాటలోది మరొకటి, క్రియలో ఇంకొకటి, ఏమాత్రం కూడా తపస్సు కానేది, అది తమస్సుగా మారుతుంది.
యూ కెనాట్ కాల్ ఇట్ తపస్ ఆర్ పెనెన్స్ వెన్ యూ థింక్ ఆఫ్ వన్ థింగ్, డూ అనదర్ and speak something different. It is only
మానవత్వము చాలా విలువైనటువంటిది.
The human life is sacred one.
చాలా పవిత్రమైనటువంటిది.
It is very sacred.
అనుభవించదగినటువంటిది.
One has to feel it.
ఆనందించదగినటువంటిది.
One can enjoy.
జంతువునాం నరజన్మ దుర్లభం. ఇటువంటి దుర్లభమైనటువంటి నరజన్మ మనకు ప్రాప్తించి కూడాను దీనిని అప్రాప్త రూపమైనటువంటి ప్రాప్తిలో మనం అనుభవించాలి, కానీ దుష్ప్రాప్తమైనటువంటి ప్రాప్తిలో మనం వ్యర్థం చేయకూడదు.
The human birth, which is a rare one, should be spent in a splendid way, enjoying these things, but not for other fleeting things.
Kanuka loka sambandhamaina vidyalanni kudanu abhyasinchatamlo tappu ledu.
There is nothing wrong in educating ourselves as per the word.
Kani divyamainatuvanti marganni kudanu kontha chittam nanduchukoni danini kudanu manam poshinchukovadaniki prayatninchali.
But we should also keep in mind the divine path and try to develop accordingly.
Kanuka manam yogulame kani భోగులం కాని రోగులం కాని కాదు.
వీఆర్ యోగీస్ బట్ వీ కెన్ నెవర్ బి భోగీస్ ఆర్ రోగీస్.
కనుక ప్రతి మానవుడు కూడాను యోగి, భోగి, జోగి, విరాగి, బైరాగి, ఈ ఆలగించి తత్వమునందు కూడాను దివ్యమయమైన త్యాగము మాత్రమే సమర్థమైనదిగా ఉంటుండాలి.
ఇట్ ఈస్ ద సాక్రిఫైస్ విచ్ ఈస్ కామన్ థింగ్ ఇన్ ఆల్ ద ఫోర్.
కనుక ఈ త్యాగము అనేటువంటిది ప్రతి మానవునికి ప్రధానమైనటువంటి గుణము.
సో సాక్రిఫైస్ ఇస్ ద మెయిన్ క్వాలిటీ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీ మ్యాన్.
విద్యార్థులారా,
స్టూడెంట్స్,
ఉపనిషత్తులు ఎంతటి ఘనమైనటువంటి విషయాలలో ఎంతటి సులభంగానో అందిస్తూ వచ్చారు.
ఉపనిషత్ డిక్లేర్డ్ లాఫ్టీ థింగ్స్ ఇన్ ఎ సింపుల్ స్టైల్.
ఆ యొక్క సూక్ష్మమైనటువంటి రహస్యాన్ని మానవుడు గుర్తించడానికి ప్రయత్నించడం లేదు.
మ్యాన్ ఈస్ నాట్ ట్రైంగ్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ ద సింపుల్ సీక్రెట్.
ప్రతి దాని ఎందుకు రహస్యం ఉంటుండాలి.
in everything there
ee rahasyam ekkada untundadante badhalu yende untundadi rahasyam
the secrets are contained in the pain
deenini puraskarinchukoni ashanti loni prashanti prashanti loni prakanti prakanti loni param jyoti paramatma tattvamu ani kodanu nirupistu vacharu
basing on this only they demonstrated the shanti in prashanti in ashanti and kanti in prakanti
kanukane chikite lekapothe లైట్ కు విలువే లేదు
వెన్ దేర్ ఇస్ నో డార్క్నెస్ దేర్ ఇస్ నో వాల్యూ ఫర్ లైఫ్
ఆకలే లేకపోతే అన్నమును కూడా ఎవరు విలువ ఇవ్వరు
వెన్ దేర్ ఇస్ నో హంగర్ నోబడి విల్ అటాచ్ వాల్యూ టు
ఫుడ్ లేనే లేకపోతే ఎయిర్ కండిషన్ కూడా ఎవరు కొనుక్కోరు ఎయిర్ కండిషన్
నోబడి విల్ బై ద ఎయిర్ కండిషనర్
కనుక దీనిని పురస్కరించుకుని న సుఖార్ లభ్యతే సుఖం
అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ప్లెజర్ యూ డోంట్ గెట్ ఎనీ ప్లెజర్
సుఖము చేత మనకు సుఖము లభించదు
అవుట్ ఆఫ్ pleasure you don't get
కష్టముల చేత దుఃఖముల చేతనే మనకు నిజమైన సుఖం ప్రాప్తి
అవుట్ ఆఫ్ సఫరింగ్ ఇన్ పెయిన్ ఓన్లీ యూ గెట్ ప్లెజర్
24 గంటలు కూడా ఎయిర్ కండిషన్ రూమ్ లో కూర్చుంటే ఎయిర్ కండిషన్ విలువ కూడా ఎవరికి తెలియదు
ఇఫ్ యూ సిట్ ఇన్ ఎయిర్ కండిషన్ రూమ్ ఫర్ ఆల్ ది 24 అవర్స్ యూ డోంట్ రియలైజ్ ది వాల్యూ
2 గంటలు ఎండలో చుట్టి తిరిగి ఎయిర్ కండిషన్ లో ప్రవేశించినప్పుడు అప్పుడు దాని యొక్క విలువ మనకు అర్థమవుతుంది
వెన్ యూ మూవ్ అబౌట్ ఫర్ 2 అవర్స్ అండర్ సన్ లైట్ అండ్ దెన్ సిట్ ఇన్ ఎయిర్ కండిషనర్ యూ కెన్ ఎంజాయ్
కనుకనే మానవ జీవితం అనేటువంటిది సుఖ దుఃఖములతో కూడినటువంటిదిగా ఉంటుండాలి
సో హ్యూమన్ లైఫ్ ఇస్ ఎ మిక్స్చర్
లాభ నష్టములతో చేరినటువంటిదిగా ఉంటుండాలి
ఇట్ ఇస్ ఎ ప్రాఫిట్ అండ్ లాస్
శీతోష్ణములతో ఉండినటువంటిదిగా ఉంటుండాలి
హీట్ అండ్ కోల్డ్
కనుక ఈ 2 భావములంటే లేకపోతే ద్వైతమే లేకపోతే అద్వైతానికి విలువనే లేదు
when there is no duality there is no value for non duality
kanni manavudu konta varaku ardha blind ga untunnadu a man with duality mind is half blind kanuka manam adi idi rendu vidhamaiti margamlo manu pravesh pettunnam
we enter into action the feeling of that and this
that adhe tat
that is tat
this is a tvam
this is tvam
this నేను
దిస్ ఇస్ ఐ
దట్ అతను
దట్ ఇస్ హీ
కనుక అతను నేను
హీ అండ్ ఐ
రెండింటి యొక్క ఏకత్వంలో మనం ప్రయాణం చేయాలి
వీ షుడ్ హ్యావ్ యూనిటీ అండ్
ఫ్రమ్ ఐ టు వి ఇది చేరాలి మనము
వీ షుడ్ ట్రావెల్ ఫ్రమ్ ద పొజిషన్ ఆఫ్ ఐ టు వి
అసత్యం నుంచి సత్యము కాదు మనం ప్రయాణం చేయవలసింది
ఇట్స్ నాట్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ఫాల్స్ టు ట్రూత్
లెస్సర్ ట్రూత్ టు హయ్యర్ ట్రూత్
We should travel from lesser truth to higher truth.
ఇది ఎట్లాంటిది?
How is it?
ఒక పెద్ద సర్కిల్ ఉంటుండాలి.
Is a big circle.
అదే పూర్ణమద పూర్ణమిదం పూర్ణాత్ పూర్ణముచ్యతే పూర్ణశ్చ పూర్ణమాదాయ పూర్ణమేవావశిష్యతి. ఇది పూర్ణమైనటువంటి పెద్ద సర్కిల్.
That is a full, complete, big circle.
ఈ సర్కిల్ లోపల ఇంకోటి చిన్న సర్కిల్ ఉంటుండాలి.
Within this there is a smaller circle.
ఆ సర్కిల్ లోపల ఇంకోటి చిన్న సర్కిల్ ఉంటుంది.
Within this there is still smaller circle.
ఆ చిన్న సర్కిలే దేహము.
The still smaller circle is the body.
ఆ పెద్ద సర్కిలే మైండ్
The bigger circle is the mind.
అన్నింటికంటే పెద్ద సర్కిలే ఒక ఆత్మ.
The bigger circle is ఆత్మ.
ఆత్మ సర్కిల్ అనేటువంటిది ఎప్పటి కూడా ఏనాటికి మారదు
ద సర్కిల్ ఆఫ్ ఆత్మ విల్ నెవర్ చేంజ్
ఈ చిన్న సర్కిల్ ఈ యొక్క దేహం అనేటువంటి దానిని విశాలం 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 చేసుకుంటూ అనేక విధమైనటువంటి విశాల భావంతో మనం ప్రవేశించాలి
వీ షుడ్ ఎంటర్ ఇన్ టు ద వరల్డ్ ఎక్స్పాండింగ్ అవర్ ఫీలింగ్ దట్ స్మాలర్ సర్కిల్ ఆఫ్ వై షుడ్ ఎక్స్పాండ్
ఈ చిన్న సర్కిల్ విశాలం చేసుకుంటూ మధ్య సర్కిల్ లో మనం ప్రవేశించాలి
యాజ్ ది
మైండ్ తో మనం కూడాలి
As the smaller circle expands, we should
mind. Atmalo manam merge kavali.
We should broaden our mind and merge in Atma.
Appude anniti yokka ekattvam praptistundi.
Then only we can accomplish unity.
Ippudu oka chinna udaharanam gadiyaram untundadi.
Here is a small example. There is a wall clock.
Wall clock lopala 3 mullu untunnayi.
It has 3 hands.
ఒకటి సెకండ్ ముళ్ళు
వన్ ఇస్ సెకండ్ హ్యాండ్
రెండవది మినిట్స్ ముళ్ళు
ద సెకండ్ మినిట్స్
మూడవది అవర్స్ ముళ్ళు
ద థర్డ్ ఇస్ అవర్స్ హ్యాండ్
ఏది మనకు ప్రధానం
వాట్ ఈస్ ద చీఫ్ వన్ హియర్
అవర్ ముళ్ళు లేకుండా సెకండ్ ముళ్ళు ఉంటుంటే కూడా ప్రయోజనం లేదు
వెన్ దర్స్ అవర్స్ హ్యాండ్ వెన్ దర్స్ నో సెకండ్ హ్యాండ్ దేర్ ఇస్ నో యూజ్
సెకండ్ ముళ్ళు లేకుండా మినిట్స్ ముళ్ళు ఉంటుంటే కూడా ప్రయోజనం లేదు
బికాస్ ది సెకండ్ హ్యాండ్ దేర్ ఇస్ నో యూజ్ ఇన్ హ్యావింగ్ మినిట్స్ హ్యాండ్
ఈ 3 ముళ్ళు కూడా అవసరమే
ఆల్ దీస్ 3 హ్యాండ్స్ ఆర్ నెసెసరీ
అయితే 3 ముళ్ళ లోపల ఉండేటువంటి యొక్క ప్రధానమైనటువంటి యొక్క ముళ్ళు ఏది
అవుట్ ఆఫ్ దీస్ 3 వాట్ ఈస్ ద చీఫ్ వన్
చిన్న ముళ్ళు సెకండ్ ముళ్ళు 60 ఇండ్లు ప్రయాణం చేస్తూ వస్తుంది
The smaller one rotates 60 times.
60 ఇండ్లు ప్రయాణం చేసేటప్పటికి నిమిషముల ముళ్ళు ఒక్క ఇంటికి ప్రయాణం చేస్తుంది.
As it rotates round 60 houses, the minute hand moves to 1 house.
మినిషిముళ్ళు 60 ఇళ్ళు ప్రయాణం చేసేటప్పటికి అవర్స్ మిల్లు ఒక్క ఇల్లు ప్రయాణం
చేస్తారు. 60 హౌసెస్ ఆర్ విజిటెడ్ బై మినిట్స్ హ్యాండ్, ద అవర్స్ హ్యాండ్ మూవ్స్ టు వన్ హౌస్.
మన దేహమే ఒక వాల్ క్లాక్.
ద బాడీ ఈజ్ ఎ వాల్ క్లాక్.
ఈ శరీరం అనేటువంటి దీంతో అనేక సత్కర్మలనేటువంటి సెకండ్ మనం చేసినప్పుడే మైండ్ అనేటువంటిది ఒక్క పవిత్ర స్థానానికి చేరిపోతుంది.
When we do so many actions compared to the seconds hand, the mind travels to one position.
ఈ మైండ్ అనేటువంటిది అనేక సత్చింతనలు సలిపినప్పుడే ఆత్మ అనేటువంటిది ఒక్క పవిత్ర స్థానానికి చేరిపోతుంది.
When the mind rotates with it 60 times, the atmic hand.
కనుక శరీరంలో సత్కర్మలు మనస్తో సత్చింతనలు సరిపినప్పుడే ఆత్మ ఆనంద స్థాయికి చేరిపోతుంది.
The good actions and good thoughts with the hand and the mind.
ఆత్మ ప్రశాంత స్థితికి చేరే నిమిత్తమై ఈ సత్కర్మలు సత్చింతనలు అవసరం.
ఆత్మ షుడ్ బి ఇన్ ఎ బ్లిస్ఫుల్ స్టేట్. ఇట్ ఇస్ ఫర్ దట్ రీజన్ గుడ్ యాక్షన్.
అవర్ ముళ్ళే లేకపోతే మినిట్స్ ముళ్ళు సెకండ్స్ ముళ్ళు ఉపయోగం లేదు.
వెన్ దర్ ఇస్ నో అవర్స్ హ్యాండ్ దర్ ఇస్ నో యూజ్ ఇన్ హ్యావింగ్ ద మినిట్స్ అండ్ ఆల్సో ద సెకండ్ హ్యాండ్.
ఇట్స్ సో బ్యూటిఫుల్ దట్ రైట్ ఎట్ ద టైమ్ వెన్ our poster series is speaking of this very example. Swami is talking about it.
In fact,
today, right?
It's the same example, same with all, yeah, the details intact,
right.
The poster series shows the second in the series, the second poster in, right, the
yesterday, the today and tomorrow.
Yesterday, today and tomorrow. So today Swami says that numerous good actions count to one step in purity of mind.
Purity of the mind.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful analogy because it explains it so well.
Right.
You know, many times I think we find that difficulty. You know, because this is something which so effortlessly combines, you know, the karmas, the actions that you do with purity of mind,
mm-hmm,
with the ultimate understanding
of Atman.
Right.
Yes.
And of course Swami starts this clip with
what is tapas?
Yeah, tapas. That's exactly where we stopped last week. Swami was asking that question, what is tapas?
Right.
Swami gives the explanation this time that it is Trikarna Shuddhi. And I think this is a concept which is probably has maximum number of mentions in Swami's discourses.
Right.
And Swami speaks about the unity of thought, word and deed.
Mm-hmm.
I think in many ways this is one of the major flaws in the Kali Yuga. If we look at the Bhagavatam, it describes as one of the disasters of Kali Yuga is people will talk something and do something else.
Oh.
Because it was such a thing which was not known in the past.
Mm.
I mean, if you're a bad person, you people knew that you were bad. Like, I think now is the time where
lines become very blurred.
Right. I mean, if you look at some of the parliamentary proceedings, of course, we shouldn't say that. It's almost like everybody knows, you do the wrong, I do the wrong, everybody does the wrong, but you can't talk of the wrong. It's almost like that. It's taboo to say things which everybody knows is the truth. But how can you tell it in the open?
Mm.
And it's almost like each one waiting for the other person to make that blunder so it can pounce on him.
It seems Swami actually narrated a story of Ramakrishna Paramahamsa.
Mm-hmm.
In this context, it's very sweet because I believe he had promised one of his devotees that he would visit his house.
Okay.
And due to several things, it just got delayed and delayed. And he was getting very worked up and moving back and forth in his place. And he said, I have to visit that person's house. I have to visit that person's house. It got pretty late. Then he called another devotee, a disciple, and he said, you get one tonga from wherever possible.
Mm-hmm.
So they brought a tonga, and this was quite a journey. And they actually went. And by the time they reached the house, it was almost midnight. And the disciple was saying, now what are you going to do? I mean, you were adamant, so we came here, but look, it's almost midnight. Then Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, with a sweet smile, he got down and put his feet through the gate of the door. Through the gate, he put his feet inside the gate and touched the ground there. And he just said, see, I have come today. He touched the ground. He said, now we can go back. So when it says thought, word and deed.
Typically, I remember in my first year undergraduate, we just joined and, That was a time when everybody is inviting Swami to come to the institute.
Okay.
Because that tradition was there that sometimes Swami would come the first few days of the college and give a discourse,
mm-hmm.
almost like start of the academic year. I think many times after that year also Swami did that.
Right.
So the teachers and students were inviting, requesting Swami to come.
Mm-hmm.
So Swami finally said, okay, Thursday I'll come to the institute.
Okay.
Okay. And I clearly remember it was the 16th of June.
Okay.
Thursday, which Swami referred to as the 16th of June. Oh, Swami said, Thursday I will come to the institute. On 15th of June, Swami leaves Vrindavan. He goes away to Puttaparthi and promptly on the 16th goes to the institute here.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, it was... I mean, we were so thrilled. First of all, of course, there was disappointment.
Mm.
But you know, the unity of thought word indeed, you don't know how...
you don't know how it will turn out.
You don't know what Swami is thinking of. You don't know how to interpret Swami's words.
Very true.
But this concept of unity of thought word indeed, you know, in how many ways Swami would express it, and at every opportunity what Swami would have to talk about this message, Swami will talk about it.
Very true.
I remember when you were talking to one of the old students, you were saying... And this question came, why do we have to write letters
mm-hmm.
to Swami? You know, when you think of a prayer, it reaches Swami. Why do you have to write?
Mm-hmm.
So Swami would say that, no, it is unity of thought, word and deed.
Oh.
Swami said, you have thought of a prayer
mm-hmm.
and you are having an opportunity to, as you write it, you are actually speaking it to yourself.
Okay.
You are expressing it.
Mm.
So it is unity of thought, word and deed. It's an opportunity. You have a good thought and you're having an opportunity to write it. And give it to Swami.
Mm.
So this unity of thought word indeed. Mm. And another beautiful explanation that Swami gives is when Dhruva, tells Vishnu, when Dhruva, Vishnu appears in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
And Dhruva says, Lord, you know everything.
Mm.
You know, I just want to be dear to you. So he says, no, you prayed for something else. Tell me what it is.
Uh-huh.
So then Dhruva says, you know everything. You know every, prayer in my heart. Mm. So Mahavishnu, Swami tells in a discourse that it seems Lord Vishnu explains to Dhruva, no. See, you have thought of a desire.
Mm-hmm.
Now you tell me the desire,
mm-hmm.
and I will bless you, and you can live through that thing. That is when you will complete the thought, word, and deed.
Indeed.
Mm. You know, and then you will become a noble one if you do that. So you tell me what it is.
Mm.
So it's almost like every opportunity which Swami would get, Swami would drive home this message.
Mm. And then, of course, the next part is where he says, "Unless there are difficulties and unless there are troubles, you won't get." Happiness and joy. Na sukat labate sukam is the summary of that next part. And then this concept is very beautiful. He gives those beautiful examples of the air conditioner. Unless you, I think it was such an apt example in this hot summer. But knowledge of our dear listeners, it just rained outside here.
Right.
And it's become natural AC.
Yeah, probably that is the thing, we wouldn't have enjoyed the rain as much if not for that summer.
That's true.
But, that part which Swami told in Telugu, in Sanskrit actually, so beautiful, Prashanti,
Prashanti
is in Ashanti, Prakanti is in Prashanti.
Mm. Param Jyoti in Prakanti.
Right.
And Paramatma.
It's almost like everything is hidden. In fact, I think this is also one of the verses in the Isha Vasya Upanishad says, talks about this.
Okay.
That the jnana is actually hidden in the ignorance.
Oh.
And because we all are ignorant.
Mm.
And it doesn't mean that I'm ignorant, I don't need the knowledge. Or I'm not qualified for the knowledge.
Mm.
That everybody has that knowledge within.
Mm.
And that's what Swami says. Here is Swami speaking about Tyaga.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami is saying that you all are truly yogis. All of you are yogis.
Mm.
It's saying that however lost you are in the world, deep inside you there is a yogi, there is one who is ready to sacrifice.
Right.
It's all about pulling that guy from out from inside. And in what context does Swami speak about this half-blind?
See, he says, without duality, there is no value for Advaita.
Right,
Dvaita, there is no value for Advaita. And he says that we are deluding ourselves that there is Dvaita. See, there is Advaita, but half-blind is because we think that I am here and he is there.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this duality. So that is half-blind. So, I think that is, dual mind is half blind.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a man with a dual mind is half blind. So, the dual mind is to say, I am here and he is there. So although it is one and the same, we perceive it as different. I think that's what it is.
I don't know if it is similar to what Swami is saying. I read a story once, a small one, very nice. Apparently there is this ace archer in a kingdom.
Okay.
Supposed to be a very, very good archer, and kind of other kings invite him to come and display his talent. So apparently he gets called by one of the kings, and all kinds of targets are set in front of him, and very easily he shoots everything down. Then finally the king gives him an opportunity, you know, and they put an apple in on top of the minister's head and say, you have to shoot it down. And this archer says, yeah, it's all right. I mean, I have no problem. So then the king says that if you don't shoot it, then I will, you know, execute you, off with your heads. Okay. And immediately the archer says, no, I can't. And the king says, I mean, you have shot, you know, more difficult targets. Why are you saying no? So then the archer says, very beautiful point. He says, see, as long as I have only one target in front of me, my aim never falters.
Wow.
He says, today you're giving me two targets. One is to shoot that thing. The other is to save my head. So he says, the moment I have two targets, my aim falters.
Wow.
Right? You know, it's, I mean, from going by what Swami was telling about karma, and you know, that, I think that's precisely what we're doing. We all want, we're all sincere about doing the action at hand, but all the time with that one eye on the result.
That's true.
You know, like there just cannot be perfection in the execution of the action.
Amazing. In fact, this whole thing of I and he, when we are, when Swami is saying this is I and that is he, and half blind, you know, this story of Adi Shankara comes to my mind where he goes to Kashi. And then he says, I have committed three sins. So he says, I know you are omnipresent, but still have come here. And then he, when he actually starts describing the Lord in stutis and, you know, like a stotram, he says, I know you are not describable. You are indescribable. You are beyond description. But still I try to describe you. And then, you know, I believe the third sin that he says is that, you know, when they greet each other or when they go to the temple, they tell their entire gotram and lineage. They say, this is the gotram from which I come. This is the lineage from which I come. And he says, I know I am not this. I am not this body, but I am still telling you my gotram and this background. So where is the unity of my thought, word and deed? I am a sinner, I have committed these three sins at that level.
And this explanation that Swami gives about these three circles and,
yes,
you know, how the, I mean, that statement was really epic, you know, where Swami says, we all think that we are actually going from untruth to truth, but we are actually going from the lesser truth to the higher truth.
Yes.
And the explanation which Swami gave about, you know, the body and the mind, which are smaller circles within this larger circle of the Atma. I think in the previous series, Swami speaks about Satya and Mithya at one particular point, where Swami says, you know, the Vedanta doesn't refer to as Satya and Asatya, but speaks about Satya and Mithya.
Correct.
The truth and what is actually Mithya is more like illusory. It appears to be true, but it's not true, or
ephemeral, you know, truth.
It is truth as long as it exists, but it is not truth for all times.
Yes, it's not permanent truth.
And I think that's what Swami says when he was saying, I think that's the beauty of Swami's teaching always. You don't have to deny one to accept the other. When Swami says, in that other statement which Swami makes in the earlier part of the discourse, Swami says that where there is jnana, it will express itself in action. You know, wise action or, you know, enlightened action is actually an example of mind filled with jnana.
Jnana, that's true. And then, of course, the last, the example of this clock, which shows how action is as important as bhakti, and that is what will lead to an atmic understanding.
Right. And, as I said, this is again one of the main themes in the Ishavasya Upanishad, because the entire discourse is about that, where it says that the only way the mind can be purified is through action, which is which is free from desires.
Wonderful.
And I think practically put, Swami is trying to tell that there are two things, you know, rights and responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
The more you are able to carry out your actions as duties,
mm-hmm.
it's not probably, we won't do it without an eye on the result,
mm-hmm.
but we will anyway do it.
Right.
Like, you know, there are two things. Like, suppose our eye is completely on the results. Mm-hmm. We will look at the action.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what is the probability of me getting success?
Mm-hmm.
If it's 50% lesser, then mm-hmm. don't do the action at all.
Mm-hmm.
At least graduate to the state where even if it is no result coming out of it,
mm.
it has to be done, let's do it.
Mm.
And go to that state where you do it and you don't think about the result at all.
Mm.
And that can come only when you look at all the actions as responsibilities and not as entitlements. You know, when you
right.
do anything for your child, do anything for your, you know, siblings or anything, you only do it as, I'm supposed to do this, this is my responsibility.
Love without duty.
Love without duty is
divine.
You know, Swami would say.
Love without duty is divine. In fact, there is a very brief mention about this
mm-hmm.
in an indirect way in a letter which, in the letter which Swami wrote to his brother
okay.
way back in 1947. There he says his brother is concerned about, you know, you go away with some of the devotees and what will happen to the devotees who are left behind here and who is going to look after them, this, that. He says that's your responsibility. It's
mm-hmm.
not that I will not do it.
Mm.
Okay. But I need not do it. Okay. He says I need not do it. Doesn't mean I will not do it. I will do it. But I am not bound by it. I do it with love. Absolutely spontaneous. I do. I know what I am doing. I'm doing it with absolute spontaneity. But it doesn't mean that I'm bound by it and I have to do it. Because I have no duty whatsoever.
I don't know how much it is in the context. I'm reminded of what Sanjay Sahni sir once was giving a talk.
Mm-hmm.
That time he mentioned, he just made a statement as part of his talk. He said, prayer is man's greatest strength
mm-hmm.
and God's only weakness.
Hmm.
The moment Swami said God's weakness,
hmm.
I mean, Sahni sir said God's weakness, Swami looked at him,
hmm.
you know, stared at him.
Hmm.
And Swami said, repeat it.
Yeah.
It's almost saying that, as you're saying, that I am not bound by it,
hmm.
I have no reason to do it.
Hmm.
But the only thing which can bind is this,
right.
you know, when a devotee loves and that
hmm.
devotion is the only thing which binds.
Hmm.
I mean, that's, we've seen that in Swami's life, you know,
hmm.
the only reason which can inspire that love in Swami, I mean, mm. if I could use that word, it's only that love which you have. You know,
right.
when drawn by that love, as that example which you gave of that person who is defaulting in his payment.
Right.
Probably for all that disunity in his thought, word and deed, there still might be love in his heart for Swami, and Swami
exactly.
is responding to that.
He responds only to love.
He was only responding to the love, overlooking
anything,
you know,
else.
The default, the faults and the action.
Right.
So I think we'll go to the next clip. This is the last clip in that discourse. We can complete this discourse this week.
కనుక ప్రపంచము లోపల ఉండినటువంటి యొక్క నిజమైనటువంటి సార్థకత రెండు ఉంటున్నాయి.
There's only one chief objective in this world.
నేగి నింగి వెలుగు అనగా నేల ఆకాశము వెలుగు.
One is earth, the space and the light.
ఈ మూడు కూడాను ప్రతి జీవికి ఆధారం.
ఆల్ దీస్ త్రీ ఆర్ ద బేసిస్ ఫర్ ఎవరీ ఇండివిజువల్.
నీరు గాలి ఇవి రెండు ఆహారం.
ద వాటర్ అండ్ ద ఎయిర్ ఆర్ ద ఫుడ్.
ఆధారము ఆహారము రెండు లేకపోతే జీవులే లేదు.
Without the basis and the food, there cannot be individuals.
ఎక్కడ ఆత్మను అక్కడ నీరు గాలి ఉంటుంటాయి.
Wherever there is ఆత్మ, we find the water and the air.
నీరు గాలి లేకపోయినా ఆత్మ ఉండొచ్చు, కానీ ఆత్మ లేకుండా మాత్రం నీరు గాలి ఉండడానికి వీలు కాదు.
దేర్ మే బి ఆత్మ సెపరేట్లీ, బట్ వాటర్ అండ్ ఎయిర్ కెనాట్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్.
ఆత్మ నిర్గుణం, నిరంజనం, సనాతనం, నికేతనం, నిత్య శుద్ధ బుద్ధ ముక్త నిర్మల స్వరూపిణం. ఆత్మకి ఏమాత్రం కూడా దేనితోనూ సంబంధం లేదు.
ఆత్మ ఇస్ నాట్ రిలేటెడ్ టు ఎనీ వన్.
ఆత్మను పురస్కరించుకునే ఇవన్నీ కూడా నువ్వు పోషిస్తూ వస్తున్నాయి.
On the basis of Atma,
jeevistu vastunnayi.
They thrive on the principle of Atma.
Koduku leni tandi undavachunu kani lokamulo tandi leni koduku undadu kada.
There cannot be the father without the son, but there can never be son without the father.
Chepalu leni jalamu undavachunu kani jalamu lekunda chepalu undadaniki veelu kaadu.
There may be the water without the fish, but the fish cannot be there without water.
గాలి నీరు లేనటువంటి ఆత్మ ఉంది కానీ ఆత్మ లేని గాలి నీరు ఉండడానికి వీలు కాదు.
There is air and water without ఆత్మ, but there cannot be water and air without ఆత్మ.
కనుక ఆత్మకు ఆధారంగా ఉండేటువంటివి కాదు ఇవి. ఆత్మని ఆధారంగా చేసుకుని ఉండేటువంటివి ఈ పంచభూతములు.
దే డోంట్ ఫార్మ్ ది బేసిస్ ఫర్ ఆత్మ. ఇన్ ఫ్యాక్ట్ ఆత్మ ఇస్ ది బేసిస్ ఫర్ ఆల్ ది ఫైవ్ ఎలిమెంట్స్.
కనుక ఈ పంచభూతముల యొక్క స్వరూపమే పరమాత్మని యొక్క దివ్యమైనటువంటి మహత్తరము.
ద మిస్టరీ ఆఫ్ డివినిటీ లైజ్ ఇన్ ఆల్ దీస్ ఫైవ్ ఎలిమెంట్స్.
ఈ మహత్తరమైనటువంటి యొక్క తత్వాన్ని త్యాగభావంతో అనుభవించుకోవటమే భోగముతో సమానము.
వెన్ యూ ఎంజాయ్ ది మిస్టరీ ఆఫ్ ది ఫైవ్ ఎలిమెంట్స్ with the spirit of sacrifice,
మనము మనం ఈ యొక్క పంచభూతములను అనుభవిస్తున్నాం.
ఎవ్రీ మినిట్ వీ ఎంజాయ్ ద బెనిఫిట్స్ ఆఫ్ ఫైవ్ ఎలిమెంట్.
ఒక్క క్షణమేమైనా కూడా నువ్వు గాలిని బిగబెడితే ఉక్కిరి బిక్కిరైపోతుంది జీవితం.
When you don't breathe for a moment, it will be restless.
మన చుట్టూ గాలి తిరుగుతూనే ఉంటుండాలి.
There is air all over.
మన పరిసర ప్రాంతంలో కూడా సర్వత్రా గాలి ఉంటుండాలి.
It is present all over.
కానీ కంటికి కనిపించదు, చేతికి చిక్కదు.
But you cannot see with the eye and you cannot hold it with your hand.
అదే విధముగానే దైవత్వం కూడా సర్వత్రా ఉంటుండాలి.
So divinity is all
over. తత్సమతో చీ శిరోముఖము సర్వత్ర శృతిమల్లోకి సర్వమా ఉత్తిష్ఠతి. ఎక్కడ చూసినా ఉండినప్పటికీ కంటికి కనిపించదు, చేతికి చిక్కదు.
Though the divinity is present all over, you cannot see with the physical eye.
అనుభూతి మాత్రమే మనకు అర్థమవుతుంది. అనుభూతి
ఇట్స్ ఓన్లీ కెన్ విజువలైజ్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్.
ప్రత్యక్ష ప్రమాణం అనుకుంటున్నారు మూర్ఖులు. ఇది ప్రత్యక్ష ప్రమాణం ఏమాత్రం కూడా చిక్కదు. అందువల్లనే అప్రమేయ అన్నారు భగవంతుని.
యూ కెనాట్ హ్యావ్ ఇట్ ఫర్ యువర్ ఫిజికల్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్, దేర్ ఫార్ ఇట్ ఈస్ సెడ్ అప్రమేయ బియాండ్ మెజర్.
ఈ టంబ్లర్ లోపల నీరు ఉంది.
Here is water in the tumbler.
దీనిలో చక్కెర వేశాము.
Here you mix sugar.
5 నిమిషాల్లో కరిగిపోయింది.
It got dissolved in
the tumbler. ఎక్కడ ఉంటుండాలి?
Where is the sugar?
నీటిలో సర్వత్రా ఉంటుండాలి.
It spread all over the water.
అడుగున ఉంది, పైన ఉంది, చుట్టూ ఉంది.
It is at the bottom and above and all around.
కానీ కంటికి కనిపించదు, చేతికి చిక్కదు.
You don't see the eye and can hold the palm.
ఒక్క చుక్క నాలుకపైన వేసుకుంటే అప్పుడు ఉన్నది అని సత్యం గుర్తిస్తుంది.
But when you keep a drop on the tongue, you can experience the taste.
అనగా అనుభూతికి ఇది ఉన్నదనేటువంటిది అర్థం తెలుస్తుంది కానీ ప్రత్యక్ష ప్రమాణములకు ఏమాత్రమో ఇది తెలియదు.
యూ కెన్ ఓన్లీ ప్రూవ్ ఇట్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్, నాట్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ఫిజికల్ అపియరెన్స్.
కనుక నీవు సాధన చేత ఆనందాన్ని అనుభవించినప్పుడు ఇది ప్రత్యక్షానుభూతి.
సో అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ప్రాక్టీస్ ఇఫ్ యూ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ ఇట్, దాట్ ఈస్ ద రియల్ ప్రూఫ్.
కనుక ఆత్మాన్వేషణ కలుపుతూ
ఎంక్వైర్ ఆత్మ,
ఆనందాన్ని ఆశిస్తూ
ఎక్స్పెక్టింగ్ బ్లెస్,
సాయుధ్య సామీప్యమునకు సరైనటువంటి సాధనలు సలపచు.
వీ షుడ్ హ్యావ్ ఆల్ ప్రాక్టీసెస్ టువర్డ్స్ ద ప్రాక్సిమిటీ.
ఈ ప్రేమతత్వాన్ని పెంచుకున్నప్పుడే,
వెన్ వీ డెవలప్ ది స్పిరిట్ ఆఫ్ లవ్,
అప్పుడే మనలో ఆ యొక్క ప్రేమ స్వరూపము సాక్షాత్కరిస్తుంది.
దెన్ ఓన్లీ యూ కెన్ హ్యావ్ ది ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ ఆఫ్ ద ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
ప్రేమ లేని హృదయం లోపల,
ద హార్ట్ వితౌట్ లవ్,
ప్రేమ పంట పండదు.
యూ కెన్ నెవర్ ద హార్ట్ యూ కెన్ నెవర్
ప్రేమ పంట లేనప్పుడు
when there is no harvest of
prema phalamu manaku kanipinchadu.
You cannot have the fruit of love.
Prema rahita marubhumulalo premaankuramulu pemponda premaveshamuto prema sudha varshamu varshimpaga prema natullu pravahimpaga murali ganamu seyagade krishna ganamu seyagade. గోపికలు కోరారు ప్రేమరహిత మరుభూములలో మా హృదయాలు ప్రేమరహితమైనటువంటి భూములుగా ఉంటున్నాయి.
గోపిగా స్ప్రెడ్ దాస్ అవర్ హార్ట్స్ ఆర్ బ్యారన్ వితౌట్ లవ్.
ప్రేమాంకురములు పెంపొంద, ఆ ప్రేమాంకురములు పెంపు చేయాలని మా యొక్క అభిలాష.
అవర్ డిజైర్ ఇస్ టు సీ ది సీడ్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్ టు జర్మినేట్.
కానీ అది నీరు కోరుతుండాలి.
బట్ ఇట్ డిజైర్స్ వాటర్.
ప్రేమ సుధా వర్షము వర్షింపగ ప్రేమ నదులు ప్రవహింపగ మురళి గానము సేయగది.
ఫర్ ద రెయిన్ ఆఫ్ లవ్ టు షవర్ అండ్ ద రివర్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్ టు ఫ్లో, కృష్ణా సింగ్.
కనుక మన ప్రేమ సుధావర్షం అనగా ఏమిటి? ఆ ప్రేమ పలుకులే సుధావర్షం.
వాట్ ఈస్ ద రెయిన్ ఆఫ్ లవ్? ద వర్డ్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్ అమౌంట్స్ టు ది
ప్రేమ హృదయమే మరుభూములు.
ద హార్ట్ ఆఫ్ లవ్ ఈజ్ మరుభూమి.
ప్రేమ యొక్క ప్రచారమే మన యొక్క జలము.
ద ప్రాపగేషన్ ఆఫ్ లవ్ ఇస్ ద వాటర్.
ప్రేమ యొక్క ఫలమే మన యొక్క ఆనందము.
ద ఫ్రూట్ ఆఫ్ లవ్ ఇస్ బ్లెస్.
ఈ ఆనందం అనేటువంటి ప్రవాహమే ప్రేమ సముద్రము.
ద ఫ్లో ఆఫ్ లవ్ ఈజ్ ఓషన్.
కనుక ఈ అనుగ్రహ సముద్రం లోపల ఈ అల్పమైనటువంటి జీవి అంకితం కావాలనుకున్నప్పుడు ప్రేమ తత్వాన్ని మనం పొందాలి.
for the individual to dedicate, one should have experienced the spirit of love. This is called the bhoga coupled with tyaga. It is not related to the physical body. It is not the one of mind. It is atmic and a natural one. It is not artificial. It is one full of atmic bliss. So students illumine the whole world. Today there is no love. Between man to man there is hatred. Therefore we should develop love.
Swami ends with a point by saying that there is so much hatred between man and man.
Right.
You put dry grass between them, it will catch fire.
Fire.
But you know how seamlessly Swami has, you know, slipped into devotion and love.
Love.
And my God.
Right. I mean, he starts with the five elements. And, you know, this Swami is talking about water and air as ahara. And in a sense, the five elements are the first manifestations of God. And so he's saying that the adhara, the basis of these five elements is the Atman. And their first manifestations is the five elements, which then become the basis of all life.
In fact, we had that bouncer discourse last time.
Right.
Where yeah. You know, you have... It's a beautiful where, you know, it talks of the Atman, which cannot be seen, felt, touched, anything. So the first step is, it allows itself to be comprehended through the senses.
Correct.
So the first one is that attribute of Akasha. Akasha is not that gross sky.
Sky, yes.
But it is that attribute of being felt, the attribute of being heard, smelt, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have that one eighth, one fourth, and
the
one
sattvic
eighth.
Manifestation, rajasic manifestation,
exactly. And how, what is that? Panchikritam, right?
Panchikritam, that's the term.
Process which happens, and then you get the gross, and then Swami says that it's through these elements that finally the body is sustained.
Mm.
And just this morning somebody sent a forward where a third standard kid is asked a question.
Okay.
For leading life, man needs W-A-NF-F-, which is supposed to be water, air and food.
Yeah.
So the child fills the blank saying WhatsApp, Android and Facebook.
Facebook.
Really, I think that's where we are right now.
In fact, they sustain us, we don't sustain them. WhatsApp, Android and Facebook sustains us.
Absolutely. And
this is very... similar, or this is exactly what Swami told one of the devotees when they asked Swami, you hardly eat anything. Swami, you hardly eat. Are you sustained by the five elements?
Do you draw your sustenance directly from the five elements?
And I think they said, Swami says, no, the five elements draw their sustenance from me. I mean, what a statement. Right. You can ponder on it for a lifetime.
Now you know it's technically correct. Because as Swami is saying, the Atma is...
No? The basis.
And then Swami says, no, the Atma is ever present, even in the absence of these things. These draw the sustenance, but it does not mean that the moment you remove these elements...
The Atma is not.
And that
right.
Beautiful example that Swami gives. Mm. There can be... a father without the son.
Right.
But the son cannot be without the father.
And fish and water.
Right. And again, you know, Swami goes on to this. He speaks about bhoga and tyaga again here. He says, expressing divinity through the five elements with renunciation is true pleasure. Experiencing divinity through the five elements with renunciation is true pleasure. As we said, this is the first verse of the Upanishad itself, where it says, understand that everything is suffused with God, enveloped with God,
right,
and then use it with detachment and that reverence,
right.
You know, that is what That first, an example which Swami would often give, you know, mm-hmm. is about the principal of a school.
Right.
And you should listen to it in Swami's voice, the way Swami will explain it.
Mm-hmm.
Swami would say he's there, the day comes when he has to retire.
Right.
Till that day, you know, he is responsible for every chair and table and, you know, notebook and blackboard in the school.
Mm.
So he'll like a hawk, he'll be, you know, guarding all of that.
Mm.
And Swami would say, the day comes when he retires, he takes his towel, dusts it like that, put it on his shoulder and walks off. He said, nothing bothers him anymore. Swami said, that is the attitude of trusteeship.
Mm.
He said, as long as you've been put there as a trustee, use all of these things and take care of all of these things, but you're not going to take anything home.
I mean, how relevant this is in regards to today's, say, condition in the world, and how we feel that we can over these five elements, how they have been exploited. I mean, water, air, and earth. You know, when man thinks he can exploit them, that's where we start ending up with problems.
Right.
On one side we have heavy rain and on the other side we have drought. But this is all man-made.
And then of course, you know, this is again, when Swami is talking about this part, where Swami is telling that man, God is apramaya.
Mm-hmm.
And those people who say that, you know, I will understand God only through pratyaksha pramana or through direct perception. How foolish it is.
Foolish.
No, that is where they've named God apramaya. When this part Swami is telling, I was reminded of, you know, what you were telling just some time back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what we were discussing, where you're saying that, you know, Swami responds only to love.
Right.
And I think that's how Swami brings the concept of love here.
Correct.
The whole thing started with understanding that ultimate, because that's what the Upanishad speaks about. It says there is no point in being stuck in the level of karma. I think one of the explanations which comes in that Upanishad as a commentary by Adi Shankara, I think he says that you know, if you do good karma, you only go to the level of the Pitru Loka. That's what he says.
Okay,
with good karma, you can probably reach heaven. That's all it is.
Mm.
And with good thoughts, probably you'll go a little higher.
Mm.
But unless you aspire for knowing and having that ultimate knowledge, you are not going to liberate yourself from this thing. So here, you know, Swami is saying that there is no way you can know that ultimate, because God is apramaya, and the only way is through love, because He responds only to love. You know, where when the call comes from love, He doesn't see whether you qualify to know Him or not.
You know, I'm just curious, maybe we should read the Ishavasya Upanishad and commentary and find out whether love figures anywhere there.
I don't think so. nowhere.
No, really. So basically this is one step beyond the Upanishad.
This is like, you know, because you can't discount the devotion and love from anything.
Exactly.
Because, you know, till now it is said that there is no way you can through your effort reach it. But you do your effort and action in this manner.
Right.
And this will put you in motion to reach there.
Correct.
So Swami is giving a totally different explanation like that. What if that action is love?
Yes.
So you cannot love expecting results from God, saying that, God, I've given you so much devotion, you reveal yourself so much. But you know, you express that devotion as an expression of your nature.
Mm-hmm.
And God will reveal Himself to you. It's almost like that. It's just replace. I mean, all this while you're talking about karma and tyaga, And Swami is saying, now just replace that karma with love and retain tyaga. Now can you have love with
sacrifice? Another way of looking at it, as I'm just seeing, is yes, we do several actions, but if you offer all your actions to the Lord, with the feeling of love for Him,
right,
then that itself is the ultimate. Because every action that I'm doing, Swami, I'm going to cut vegetables, or I'm going to have food, or I'm going to sleep, but I offer this to You, and with love, then automatically that is the most perfect action, as I would call it.
Right. In fact, I think one of our seniors would say, Swami was talking about one devotee. She would come extremely decked up for darshan.
Okay.
Now it would look a little out of place, because we generally tend to be simple when we go for darshan, and at least in the student side, the idea of wearing whites, the idea of not having too you know, too many paraphernalia, you go and sit simple in front of Swami.
Right.
But here was this lady who always so many jewels and heavy makeup and all that.
Mm.
And Swami's face would light up when he would see this lady.
Yeah.
And apparently in one of the Trai sessions or interview, Swami explained.
Mm-hmm.
Swami says, do you know, to come for morning darshan at 7 o'clock, she wakes up at 3:34 and starts getting dressed up.
Oh.
And all through that process, she keeps saying, I am going to see Swami. You know, I am going to go and stand in front of Swami. I have to look my best. So all the time, what is actually a mundane activity of, you know, dressing yourself and beautifying yourself,
right.
The constant thought of, I am going in front of Swami. You know, I am going to be seen by God Himself. You know, Swami was responding to that, because when Swami would see her, Swami's face would light up. You know, and as you said, you know, that's what it is. Do the action what you're supposed to do, but that love element of offering it to Swami and doing it for Swami, without expecting any result, of course.
I think if we at Radio Sai can't do it, I don't know who can, because we are so fortunate that, you know, even our work revolves around Swami.
Right, right.
So it's, I would say, quote unquote, easy, but there's a long way to go.
Right, you know, when it's given easier to you, the bar is high.
Much higher.
Much higher, really.
And then, of course, this everything comes into this ocean of love,
right.
As Swami sings this poem which the Gopikas would often sing.
Right. What is that song? It's not...
Mohana Murali
Nodu Chinukumari. Right.
In that song, this paragraph also
figures. This is, I think, Swami's favorite paragraph in that line, because so many discourses Swami would refer to this paragraph of that song.
Correct.
Swami has sung many times, but this paragraph, and Swami explains so beautifully, you know, the field of love is your heart, and the flow of love is the actions that you do, and that, you know, that water is that craving.
Correct.
Beautiful, this one.
And then this last portion is again very nice, how he brings it back to Tyaga and Bhoga. And he says, this pleasure of the Atman is natural to you. It's not artificial, it's not acquired, it is natural. You have the right to it.
Right.
That is what
it's not
you,
acquired, it is not artificial.
It's not artificial. He says, that is what you're entitled to, and that's what you are, that's what you have. So basically what it feels like is we are covering it up with our ignorance, and the moment the ignorance is removed, that bliss is always there, that ananda of atmananda, as we may call it.
I don't know what is somebody referring to here. He said the pleasure united with renunciation is not the pleasure. Okay, right. The pleasure united with renunciation is not the pleasure of the body or the mind. It is the pleasure of the Atma, which is natural to us.
That's the true pleasure that we need
to
see.
It is not the pleasure which you get by satisfying the this one.
Senses and the mind.
Because this brings us to the end of the discourse, and the listeners, probably a bit of sad news. Sai Prakash is going away on a technical workshop. I mean, what do we call it?
Training program.
For a few months. So I think this is the last segment, probably in a few months' time at least. We're going to have Sai Prakash on the program. So I think from next week, we'll have another co-host who will be with me. And I don't know how many of you are going to switch off from next week.
I'm sure more will tune in.
Right,
and
it's not you or me. I think the main participant is that discourse clip which we play.
I'm sure going to miss this, because it's so nice that, you know, because we have the structure of this program, we are actually listening to Swami's voice. We are actually playing it, and we spend time thinking about it and discussing about it. It gets in a little bit deeper, I suppose.
Right.
So, you know, this is a very good format which a lot of Sai Samithis and, you know, study circles, they could take up. And all the discourses are available right on our website. So they could take any series and they could discuss based on that series. That's really a beautiful...
Exactly. You know, how many programs we have done where we were able to play only one 10-minute clip.
Exactly.
And there was so much to discuss, and, you know, I think, as you said, we at Radio Sai are really fortunate because as an extension of our work or as an expression of our work, we are able to sit and do this.
Right.
With much gratitude to Swami, we conclude this week's episode and this discourse. Dear listeners, do tune in next week. We'll hopefully start the next discourse. Of course, we are trying out a new thing for the next discourse. You'll have to wait to know what it is. We'll conclude with the bhajan which Swami sang at the end of this discourse. This is the discourse which Swami delivered on 24th of May, 1991. Thank you for being with us. Do join us again next week. Jai Sai Ram.
प्रेम मुदित मनसिक को राम 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 श्री राम 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 मुदित मनसिक को राम 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 श्री राम 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 कटे दुख मिटे लेत राम नाम भव समुद्र सुख जनाव एक राम नाम परम शांति सुख निदान प्रिय राम नाम निराकार को आधार एक राम नाम माता पिता बंधु सख सब ही राम नाम जन जीवन घन एक राम नाम